This is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
We have with us today at PMPnetwork.com the incredibly talented Cheryl Wheeler for the third time on That's Life with Mark Snyder. I'll never forget the first time that we had her on the show, and she played a song called Arrow, and I flipped and told her how wonderful the song was. And when I went to Somerville Theater one night to see her, she dedicated the song to me, and that was one of the big thrills of my life. You can tell what kind of a life I've had. But Cheryl is one of these people who has an incredible talent to write great songs, and also when you see her in concert, you'll see one of the best comedians around. And the past year has been quite eventful for her. She joins us right now live. Cheryl, welcome back to That's Life with Mark Snyder.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
Been a long, lonely, lonely time. You are going to be Saturday night at the Emerson Umbrella.
That's right.
That's a nice place, too. A nice venue.
It's a good gig. I always like that gig.
Yeah. I assume you've played there many, many times.
Well, yes, I have.
you've pretty much worn out that place and Sanders Theater and Somerville Theater. You're there were quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, home turf, sort of.
Yeah, you do a lot of concerts. I mean, how many do you do a year?
I don't know, 120, 130, somewhere in there, I think.
Wow. Do you ever feel like the old Simon and Garfunkel, where each town looks the same to me, the movies in the factory?
Sometimes, but I try not to feel that way because the town shouldn't look the same. And, you know, just I like traveling around and I like what I do.
Yeah, well, you should. You do it well.
Thanks.
The newest CD, your sixth on Rounder, Sylvia Hotel, contained a song that has been controversial in many ways. It's called If It Were Up to Me. And I guess recently you were involved in indirectly in that stupid video that they were selling over in at Columbine High. I guess the fire department took videos of the aftermath,
right,
and then sold them and used your song in background.
That's right, and some other songs of other people's as well. Yeah.
Oof.
It was kind of a surprise. I don't know how that happened, but I would be. There can't have been any malice intended. I'm sure somebody meant to do a good thing and felt like they probably were doing a good thing, and then it seems like it just got out of hand somehow. I don't know how that happened.
What was your immediate reaction when you heard about that?
Shock. We got in touch. You know, my manager got a hold of a lawyer, and we sent them some highfalutin legal notice that said, cut it out, and can't use our song, and that's what other people did too. And then now, so then they said that they would take the songs off the video, and that was the end of that.
Interesting to note that the Rounder Records, when that record came out, donated $5 to the Center for Prevent Handgun Violence every time the song was played on radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was really neat that they did that.
That was really cool. That's the kind of support that artists like to have.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great. And that's a while back, though. I think that was before Columbine that happened.
Yeah. Well, you this was not written about Columbine.
No, it was Jonesboro.
Yeah. I mean, but unfortunately, it's happened in so many locations now that it's hard to pinpoint them all.
Yeah, well, it's impossible. I mean, that is incredibly unfortunate. You're right. I mean, it's hideous.
I mean, when you and I, when we went to school, you know, we feared the kid with the spitballs, and you know, the kids would pick on people.
Yeah.
But I mean, nowadays you have these lonely kids, and instead of going off and doing graffiti, they bring guns to school.
Yeah, it's just an unbelievable situation. I mean, it's a shock that it can be like this. It really is. I don't know what we're going to do, but we have to do something. This is one of the most shameful things that's ever happened in our society, in my opinion.
I agree with you. But I think it's just kind of like the top of the iceberg, because there are so many things that are happening in the society that aren't good in terms of what we're doing with our children, that this is just one of the results of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it's a pretty chronic result, considering that kids are actually killing one another.
You're right.
I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It seems, you know, there's some obvious stuff, like, let's disarm the children. That seems incredibly obvious, and beyond that, I don't know. what to think.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, the gun manufacturers, only one of them now has come out and said they were going to support locks. What more basic thing can they do to at least give locks to these things, and hopefully people would be responsible enough to keep them locked up so the kids couldn't use them? You know, or gun manufacturers inventing something that only works with the person whose fingerprints are on
it.
Right. You know. I mean, these things are things that could be done in a successful society like we have to prevent these kind of tragedies, and they're not being done.
I agree, and I can't quite understand it, but I do believe that we make a mistake in assuming that, you know, all the NRA people are like some of the chronic ones that we are, you know, we're always talking about Charlton Heston and stuff like that, but, you know, he's one guy, and I think I have to believe that the majority of gun owners would be willing to do whatever they could do to help out this problem, and I think it's important that we be respectful to those people because, you know, the majority of gun owners haven't done anything wrong, and we really do need to come up with a really good plan on how we're going to keep guns out of the hands of kids, and we're not going to be able to do that without the help of the law-abiding gun owners because they're the ones that know guns and know which guns are necessary for hunting and recreational gun activities and which ones aren't, and we need to approach those people with a little respect and with the assumption that they, of course, are on our side, and if we keep acting like all of you rotten gun owners are part of the problem, then they're going to naturally feel defensive, and I don't think that all of them are part of the problem.
I agree with you, and of course, if it were up to me, handle that in an incredible manner. It's a great song. And the fact that it was brought to the attention of Garth Brooks, who later put it on his Chris Gaines CD with the choruses from Youngblood's Get Together,
right,
which is a great 60s anthem, and that thing ran all the time, that's the kind of thing that must make a songwriter very happy.
Well, it was certainly a big compliment to have Garth Brooks call me up and ask if he could, you know, kind of do a version of that song. I was, you know, thrilled, and I knew very well he wasn't going to do he wasn't going to come to the same culmination I had.
No, the last line was skipped.
Right, well,
yeah.
He did a whole different thing with it, but then, you know, you don't have to go to college to figure out that Garth Brooks isn't going to sing an anti-gun song.
Right.
So there you have it.
Yeah, but that must be a nice financial windfall for you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it could be, but you only make money on songs if the song itself generated income, and I don't think so far that record has generated very much income at all.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Well, too bad.
Yeah, really. Well, that's life.
But you've had people from Bette Midler and Dan Seals and all these people recording your songs.
Yeah, I've been really lucky.
Yeah. I always thought, and I still do, that the song Arrow you did is one of probably the top 10 songs ever written.
Well, thank you.
And in a real good world, a perfect world, that song would have topped the charts and everybody would be hearing it.
Well, thank you very much. That's nice of you to say. Yeah. It's a quiet little song. I don't know how much it belongs in the pop world, you know?
I think. You know, there's a lot of quiet songs in the pop world, too, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And that song, I think if it got played enough on your mainstream radio stations, you would have people from 12 to 100 enjoying that song.
Well, thank you.
I hope you're right. Well, I believe that's true, and I think the problem is partly due to the radio networks we have and radio and consolidation and the limited amount of places that play the kind of music that you play.
Yeah, well, it is definitely an underground kind of a thing, but I sort of like that it is. It's a quiet little genre of music, and I like that. There's something realistic about that.
Now, Saturday night, you're working with Colleen Sexton.
Oh, good.
And I've seen you play with everybody from Vance Gilbert to Christina Olsen and tons and tons of people. Do you have favorites that you like to tour with?
Oh, yeah, but the list would be too long to go on with. I mean, I, generally speaking, like most musicians, you know. So I'm usually happy to, it's a friend of mine that's on the show with me, I'm always happy to see him. I've done a couple shows with the Neils lately, and I always love seeing those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always fun to run into other musicians. Well, perhaps not the best phrasing, but you know what I mean.
I understand. You know, it's interesting when we talk about something serious like you know, violence and things and the songs. I mean, your act is very light. It's not,
yeah.
You know, people are listening right now saying, wow, these guys are really heavy. Cheryl's act is you know, her lyrics are heavy in some cases, but many times they're very, very funny, and your spiel between the songs It's hilarious, and I know we've talked about this before, and I had asked you a long time ago if you ever considered being a comedian.
Oh, no. You know, I mean, the thing is, it's fun to have a few funny things to say, but I can always decide not to do that and sing instead. And I wouldn't want to remove that option. You know, yeah. I mean, mostly, more than anything, I think I'm a songwriter.
When you were growing up, what songwriters were you listening to?
Oh, man. Everything. I mean, everything. I was totally into the whole, all the British Invasion stuff, and, you know, Paul Simon, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Gordon Lightfoot, and I had an old Phil Harris record that I used to love, and I had a Bobby Darin record I loved, and I liked a lot of Broadway stuff, and I mean, I love songs. That is, I have sort of come to realize that is the thing that I love the most, is just a song. I love songs, and I'm much more interested in the song than I am, say, the production on the record or something like that.
Mm.
It's the song that I'm crazy about.
Well, you stuck to that, too, because you were signed at one point to Capitol Records. And,
that's right, yeah.
And they tried to kind of mold you into something that you weren't, and you said no.
Well, yeah, to a degree, I guess they tried. I mean, when I signed with Capitol Records, there were a whole bunch of people working at that label who were very enthusiastic about our project, and then, as is very typical of the record business, everyone at the label got fired when a new head guy was brought in, and those people were much less in tune with my sort of low-key thing, and so they didn't, it's not so much that they tried to have me be something else, I mean, they could see that I wasn't going to be something else, they just said, you know, I mean, and the guy who ran the label, Jimmy Bowen, was a very nice guy, and he said he was super complimentary to me, and said, this isn't the label for you, but you're really, you know, great, and blah 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 blah. So it was, you know, and I totally agreed. I didn't, you know, I feel much more comfortable at Rounder Records. That's where I belong.
Mm, and you've been there for a while, and
uh-huh.
and things won't change there because it's a privately owned business.
Right. Yeah.
And hopefully it won't get sold to a conglomerate.
Well, yeah. Here's open.
Yeah,
you know, everything's just great. I try to concentrate on songs and not on business,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, so as a result, I'm probably not going to, you know, I'm no kind of a business person, but I do have a fine time writing songs and hopefully putting on a relatively entertaining show, and, you know,
Sure, we will be Saturday night at Emerson Umbrella. And just in case people, we have people all over the country listening to the shows, if you want 1,000 a week on this, you want to mention some of the itinerary of what some of the upcoming concerts are?
Oh, gee, let me think. Let me see. Next week I'm in Andover, Mass. On the 13th, and then the week following, Kingston, New York on the 17th, West Ossipee, New Hampshire on the 18th, Londonderry, New Hampshire on the 19th, here in Providence at Stone Soup on the 20th, and King of Prussia, PA on the 28th. This is a nice and easy month for me, very relaxed.
Yeah, no big traveling, huh?
No, I have been traveling a whole lot, and I don't really start traveling again till June, I think.
Does your act do as well, for instance, out west and in the Midwest as it does in the East?
Yeah, my second biggest area is the Bay Area, out around Berkeley, in terms of draw. And
yeah.
Then I think the third biggest is Denver.
Really?
I play a lot in Colorado. I play a lot in Texas. And I just did a whole bunch of Midwest that, you know, I mean, I pretty much get to go everywhere, and I love it.
Mm.
Lucky me, you know.
Texas is a place that probably wouldn't appreciate the last line if it were up to me, though.
Well, you'd think so, but actually the people who come to folk shows are pretty much the same, you know, of the same ilk all around the country, I find. And so they, you know, I mean, the fact is that it doesn't matter where you're from. The majority of people are absolutely 100% behind the idea of not having kids have access to guns, and
mm.
that song gets a great response everywhere I play it. I've never yet, you know, there's sometimes there'll be one or two people in the audience actually who will boo after that song, but I've never I've always thought it was, I think that sometimes people think that what I'm saying in that song is that no one should get to have a gun, and if they can't pick up from the lyrics that I'm talking about kids, then I don't suppose there's much point in me trying to explain it any other way. But the vast majority of the people for whom I have sung that song have been very much in solidarity with it.
And if you want to get that song, by the way, it's on the album Sylvia Hotel, which is on Philo label, which is a division of Rounder Records out in Cambridge. So go pick that up at your local record store. And don't forget, Saturday night, you can see Cheryl Wheeler, May 6th on the Emerson Umbrella in Concord. And if you can't make it there, well, just play this again, and you'll hear some of the dates that she's got coming up. And do you have a website with all your stuff on it?
I do. It's CherylWheeler.com.
That's a clever idea.
Yeah, we thought that would be a good name.
Yeah, you know, Jane Doe isn't going to work on that one. CherylWheeler.com does work.
Really?
And Cheryl Wheeler is not getting older. She's getting better. I'll tell you, folks, everything that comes out gets better and better and better, and I can't wait for the next one to come out.
You are a sweetheart. Thank you very much.
And it's been much too long. I hope we can talk sooner next time.
I do, too.
Take care, Cheryl.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.